Living here in the Washington area, we well know that our chief means of transportation is a car. For those of us who do drive, we well know that before we set out, we always have to make sure we have enough fuel. And then, of course, we have to have directions so that we know where we are going. And then we have to keep our eyes on the road. Now, given this past winter and the havoc that's been wrecked upon our roads, we well know they aren't in very good condition. Just coming down Cascades Parkway, it's almost inevitable that one's going to hit a pothole. And that pothole is going to shake us, if it's big enough, might cause a misalignment in our car. And if it's really big enough, like some of them are, might even blow out a tire. Now, you might be wondering, why do I mention this? But isn't that sort of like our journey of life when we consider it? We always have to think, do I have the right directions? Do I have enough fuel to get to the destination? And do I really have my eyes on that road? And what about the potholes that I hit in life? Well, with that in mind, think of these apostles, these disciples today. They aren't apostles, they're disciples. And they're traveling from Jerusalem to this town of Emmaus. They're talking about everything that has happened. One can only imagine the interior turmoil. After all, they were witnesses to the events of Good Friday when our Lord was brutally crucified. They know now of the suicide of Judas, one of the apostles who betrayed our Lord. Then, of course, there's the reports that Christ is risen. They've seen the empty tomb. What do they make out of that? And then also, there's the Sanhedrin that's already spreading lies that somebody stole the body from the tomb. So picture yourself with them. They're confused. They're troubled. When our Lord appears to them, unbeknownst to who he is, Jesus asks them, well, what are you discussing? And they say, have you not heard? We had hoped. Well, with that phrase, they really reveal what's in their souls. We had hoped. We had believed in. We had committed our lives to Christ. We had followed him. And now it's all over. It's finished. What do we do? How do we continue on? What do we make out of all of this? They've hit a major pothole. Without question, spiritually, their whole life is misaligned. They've had a blowout in life. So what do? Well, our Lord is present to them. And consider what he does do for them. He first of all opens their minds to the sacred scriptures. Beginning with Moses and journeying through the prophets, he opens their mind that the Messiah, just as St. Peter preached in our first two readings, that the Messiah was the new Passover lamb who by his own blood would free us from the slavery of sin and through his resurrection open the gates of heaven, the real promised land. Then he sits down and has a meal with them. He takes bread, offers it, blesses it, gives thanks, and gives it to them. Immediately we should recognize it's like the Last Supper happening all over again, that Christ isn't just giving them bread. He's sharing the Eucharist himself. With that, eyes are open. They recognize Jesus. Their hearts are burning with fire, the fire of God's love, and they go forth. They go back to the apostles. Well, what about us? So, my brothers and sisters, we're on this life journey. A journey of faith. And we know that living in this world isn't always easy. With so many responsibilities and tasks and obligations, any of us here could burn out. We could. We don't refuel ourselves the way we should, and we burn out. Or perhaps it could be that we don't follow the right directions. After all, with all the media that we're exposed to, and all the messages that are contrary to the gospel that we hear every day, and even just how some people live their lives, we could easily be distracted. go off the right path. As St. Peter again said, we could be distracted by perishable things, things that really don't matter in life at all. And then, yes, we hit the potholes. Some potholes are inevitable. Think of something like a financial disaster, the medical problem, family problems arise. All those things challenge us. We may wonder, how do I get through it? But some of those potholes can be very big and unavoidable. Consider the people in Arkansas not too long ago, just a few days, that had those awful tornadoes. I was watching the news and it showed the devastation. They interviewed this one elderly couple, and the couple said that when they heard the alarm, they went down into their cellar, they prayed the Our Father, they asked God for protection, but when they came out, there's nothing there. Everything that they had worked for in life, gone. How does one get through that? And they said, we lost everything, but God will get us through this. What a beautiful message. I'm so happy to see it on the news. Or I always remember our brother and sister Christians who are in those troubled countries like Syria, Iraq, Egypt, where they're severely persecuted. At his Wednesday audience this past week, Pope Francis admitted that he cried because he had heard that several Christians had been crucified in Syria because they would not convert to Islam. How would we live in such a situation? Or think of the people in Iraq. More than a million Christians, more than two-thirds, have left Iraq because of the turmoil. What would it be like to go to your church on a Sunday morning and wonder, am I going to be killed because I'm a Christian? Or in Nigeria, a school for girls, high school, was attacked by the Islamic terrorists. 80 girls more were kidnapped, and they've been sold into slavery to become wives for these Muslim militants. How you live in such a situation facing that? It takes Christ, living in the presence of the risen Lord. Remember last weekend, we had the beautiful canonization of both Pope John the 23rd and John Paul II. In his canonization homily, Pope Francis said of these two men, they were priests, bishops, and popes of the 20th century. They lived through the tragic events of that century, but were not overwhelmed by them. For them, God was more powerful. Faith was more powerful. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man and the Lord of history. So my brothers and sisters, for us, we find the reason why we're here. We're here to be in the presence of the risen Lord. Christ is risen. He is with us. When we come here to Mass, we're here to devote our lives and our time to Him. Given the account we just had with these two disciples to Emmaus, don't we see that happening right here? After all, we've just been fed by the words of sacred Scripture, God's truth. If any of us here want good directions in life, here it is, sacred Scripture. If we want the path that's going to get us through the right way of journeying through life, it's right here, sacred Scripture. Not the media, no, the Word of God. And that's why the Word of God is so important to our Mass. Now, my job as a priest, of course, is to not only proclaim the gospel, but also to teach. Keep in mind, though, that just as those two disciples went back to the apostles, my job is not just to give whatever I think, but rather to always teach in accord with the mind of the Church, that apostolic authority, the truth that has been handed on from generation to generation since the time of the apostles. The challenge for both you and me is that we open our hearts. After all, We aren't called to take this word of God and twist it to meet our selfish needs in this world. We're called to conform our lives to the word of God, because only then are we following the right path, and we know the path and the truth of Jesus Christ. Given that, having then professed our faith, we offer a sacrifice that participates in the Last Supper, the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, His resurrection, and His ascension. Again, who's doing all of this? Christ, the authority that He entrusted to His apostles, has been handed on to the priests through the sacrament of holy orders. So with that, when I speak the words of consecration over the bread and wine that we offer, those words are spoken by Christ, and that bread and wine truly becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Christ is present to us, and Christ intimately is sharing His life with us. What a great gift to know Christ comes to us sacramentally through the Holy Eucharist. And what love, what hope that should enkindle in our souls. Speaking of those Christians in those troubled countries, I remember it's been about 7 years now, a Father Wahid Ghani gave an interview just 2 weeks before he was assassinated by Islamic terrorists. But he said, yes, at times in Iraq we live in fear, but when we have the Holy Eucharist, and I say, this is my body, this is my blood, Lamb of God, what great comfort I know that Christ is coming into my soul. That's how we should all feel. So my brothers and sisters, to live our lives in this world, we need to live in the presence of the risen Lord. And that happens right here. But when we leave, just like these disciples, we should leave with hearts burning on fire, really with hearts filled with joy. Granted, during the week, we need to refuel, and that's why we take time to pray. It's why we take time to find continuing directions through reading sacred scripture, studying our faith, some other spiritual reading. We need that. We need to keep our eyes on the road, be careful of those that might take us astray. And when we hit the potholes, to know Christ is with us. But we always have to remember to refuel, get those directions renewed, to keep our eyes on the road, and to remember we are journeying with Christ. Also, we need to remember we aren't alone. We're all here together. It's not as though we're just a bunch of individuals that are going to scatter after this Mass. We're a church. We need to be concerned about each other. We need to help each other. We need to have good Catholic Christian friends to support each other. That's important because that also helps us live in the presence of Christ. So yes, my brothers and sisters, we need to journey along with our Lord. How beautiful it would be if because of our lived faith, someone would come up to us and ask us one day, what are you discussing? Why is it you live your life the way you do? And we could talk to them about Christ and how our faith makes a difference. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that person then said, I want to believe too? Are we ready in our community to live life in such a way, a life of faith, where we make the presence of Christ known in our lives? There's the real challenge of living the Easter joy. May God bless you.